Next on RadioSt.Pete.com, Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field.
Welcome back to another episode of Peter's Proffer. And we're not in the courtroom of current events anymore. We're actually in the Corona courtroom, it seems like, since we are all quarantined and I'm doing the podcast from my house. The room I'm working at out of in my house is four bare walls and a tile floor, so it's like an echo chamber, and I've actually set up outside to do this podcast. I'm phoning in Pete and my dad. Today, you may hear some birds chirping in the background. You may hear the pool fountain. You may hear some noises that'll just make you happy. So we are going to break down the stay-at-home order that Governor DeSantis just gave in Florida. The vast majority of our listeners are from Florida, and we've gotten a ton of questions via email, via text, and via social media about how this affects them and their families, how this affects their jobs, how this affects their employees. So we're going to go through the order, and at the end, we're going to answer a bunch of questions that we've gotten. And another big announcement on today's podcast and going forward is we are lucky enough to have new intro and outro or exit music from Nate Curran, who is actually a real musician. He's an award-winning musician. He's a friend of mine. He gave us some of his songs to sample and put in here, which is going to be awesome. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it a lot more than the old music that may have blown your eardrums out at the end. So thanks so much to Nate, and you can YouTube him, you can Google him, you can look up his music, look up the songs that we sample so you can hear the whole thing. But today is the first time we get to start this podcast with Nate.
On that midnight train,
all right, so we're going to just jump into this stay-at-home order from DeSantis that just came down. If you're confused after reading the order, you're not alone. We're getting a ton of questions about it, and a ton of people just have no idea what's going on and what it actually says. One of the issues with it is that Section 1 literally says safer at home. So it's a stay-at-home order that says safer at home in Section 1. We already had a safer at home order. Why do you think that is, Dad? Why do you think it still says safer at home? And how does it kind of change what we already had previously?
Well, it's more restrictive. But what really, I tell you what it's doing, it's making it statewide what's already been in effect in probably just about every major jurisdiction in Florida. So it's not as impactful as people might think because most of the big counties have already had this stay-at-home order. It's really going to affect those kind of rural counties where they don't really have the problem anymore, but there was just so much political pressure on the governor to do a statewide order that he went ahead and did it. But like I said, if you look at the order, it's got so many parts, and 90% of the areas that they're dealing with are really touchy areas. He adopts the Miami-Dade order that was already in place.
Right, and we'll get to that. So, but is there a distinction, Pete? Is there a distinction between a safer at home order and a stay at home order?
Man, I'll tell you, it's gotten really fuzzy. I think the answer to this point is no. There's really no distinction because when you look at the different orders, they pretty much generally say the same thing. That as long as you can, you can abide by the CDC requirements, that you are better off staying at home, as opposed to a complete lockdown of everybody stay home and nobody move.
So I guess the question comes down then to what this actually says, because that's the distinction between the safer at home orders and the stay at home orders, is you just have to read the verbiage in it and you have to see what exactly each of these orders says to understand what the requirements and rules are at this point. And it starts out in this safer at home or stay at home order under Section A, defining who shall stay at home. Dad, who is it that is supposed to stay at home no matter what, basically?
Well, you know, I look at it and it kind of confuses me because I see senior citizens in 1A, right?
Right.
And it talks about senior citizens, they shall stay at home and take all measures to limit the risk to exposure to the virus.
Correct.
Then I look at B, And B says all persons in Florida shall limit their movements and personal interactions.
Well, I think that's the distinction, right? So I think Section A is who shall stay at home, and Section B is who has limits on what they can do and where they should stay.
Right, but did you find in here a definition of what a senior citizen is?
No, but I think we have a definition of what senior citizen is in other facets of law and government.
Well, I've seen three different, I've seen 60, 65, and 70, three different age groups when these, when the doctors are talking about who's at risk. And so I'm not so sure it really defines senior citizen. Plus, when it goes down, it says all persons in Florida. Well, doesn't all persons in Florida include senior citizens?
Well, yes, but I think that that's the point, is that A is more limiting than B. So all persons in Florida should limit, but then senior citizens shall stay at home. I mean, I think that's the one clarity, the one clear point I think that's in this is that that Section A is who absolutely shall stay at home, and it is senior citizens and those people who are immunocompromised or have respiratory issues, they shall stay at home. I think the order is clear about that. Pete, what
do
you think?
Do you think senior citizens shouldn't go, can't go to the grocery store?
Correct. I think that they can't go to the grocery store. I think that they're supposed to use delivery services or do everything that they can to have people deliver groceries to their house, and they shouldn't go to the grocery store. I don't necessarily think they're going to be prosecuted for it, and I think that there's a just a heightened level for everybody that's in Category A. Pete, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of it. I think this is the governor's way of trying to do one step less than what New York has, because New York has a shelter in place, which basically is do not move unless it's an absolute emergency. So I think they're trying to avoid using those words, because I think it's going to cause panic. But at the same time, I think that it basically says that if you're immunocompromised, if you're a senior citizen, you need to be staying home. And unless it's an absolute emergency, you shouldn't go out.
Right, and I think that that's one of the important aspects of it as we discuss it, is even the three of us don't necessarily agree what it says. One thing I think that's also clear in the order is that nothing in this stay-at-home order prohibits anyone from working from home. So I think that's an important thing throughout, is he's trying to keep the economy going as much as he can. He realizes we have these issues, and now we're just going to have to figure out how to work through it together. So the big part about this order and other stay-at-home or safer-at-home orders is what are essential services and activities? Because Section B, which is all people in Florida, all citizens of Florida, should stay at home except for essential activities and services. So I think this is the really confusing part. But Pete, why don't you start by kind of giving us an idea of where you think they're drawing from to get what these essential services and activities are, and then we can kind of get into the weeds of what they actually are.
Okay, I believe that they're drawing from the CDC and from the executive order that went into effect down in Miami-Dade County to try to make a definition of what essential services and activities actually means for definition purposes.
And Pete, why is Miami under stricter terms than the rest of Florida? And how does it kind of compare total-wise to the corona positive tests throughout Florida?
Yeah, Miami, and I think everybody understands why, got hit relatively quickly and harder than other jurisdictions in Florida, simply because of spring break being at the time when all this kind of took effect. So all these people came to Miami and in the Miami area, and they identified a larger number of coronavirus infections in Miami, so they just took it upon themselves to kind of be on the front end of this thing. In fact, the mayor of Miami actually was infected.
Don't you also think, because I know one of the areas that's kind of controversial in this order is when he does all the whereases, he talks about a whereas that the people who fled the New York City region came to Florida. And so do you think he's blaming New York for a lot of why Miami has the problems that it has now?
You know, I don't know if he's blaming New York, but at this point, I think from the governor's perspective, Miami-Dade put this thing in effect. I think that they did a relatively decent job of trying to give a foundation about what the standard should be. And between that and the CDC guidelines, I think it was just easy enough for the governor to say, all right, we're just going to use this as our standard and basically make it statewide, because Pinellas County, which is where we are now, I think the last time I heard, we're up to 500 confirmed cases. So our numbers are starting to escalate right behind Miami.
So when we talk about...
If you look, this order technically is 34 pages, and... Only the order itself is only 5 pages.
But I think it's important to mention that it does incorporate by reference the Miami order, which is another, you know,
right,
4 or 5 pages. And when we get into what these essential activities are now, it's important because he does adopt what Miami wrote, because there's a whole second list. He lists some in this order. And then it also mentions that there are other essential services that may be added under this order with the approval of the state coordinating officer, and they'll maintain an online list. So just because it's not mentioned in this first set of essential activities or services doesn't mean it couldn't be added later. So when
Absolutely.
When getting into these essential activities, I'm going to list all of them off, and then you guys can pick whichever ones you want to talk to, and we can kind of just spitball from there. So
are you going to start with section 2 or section 3?
I'm going to read all of the essential activities that are listed in these two orders, and I'm just going to paraphrase basically. I'm not going to read them verbatim.
Okay.
If anybody wants to read them verbatim, they can go and find the order. We'll post it with this podcast so you can read through the order yourself to read through the activities. But generally speaking, the essential activities include religious gatherings, recreational activities, including walking, biking, fishing, hunting, swimming, things like that, caring for pets, family members, loved ones, friends, health care providers are essential businesses. A lot of these things I'm going to go through now are essential businesses or work, grocery stores and farmers, hotels, media such as newspapers, TV, radio, gas stations and auto repair shops, banks, hardware stores, contractors and other tradesmen. You know, those are subcontractors and construction guys, post offices, online schooling, office supply stores, business support, such as, you know, IT guys, businesses that ship groceries or foods, ALFs and nursing homes, professional services, such as us and accountants, lawyers, things like that, landscapers and pool care, child care facilities with more specific details and rules that they have to follow is actually in the order. Telecommunications providers, gas companies, office admin, open construction sites, architects, engineers, surveyors, factories, and waste management. Those are the ones that they list out there. Generally, there may be more within that list that you can go look and break down specifically. What's not in there is a social gathering in a public place, and non-essential retail and commercial establishments are actually listed as non-essential activities and services. So, why don't you, Pete, we'll start with you. This will be your last one before you have to sign off. Which one do you, you know, kind of want to pick out and talk about, or do you want to talk about them generally?
You know, I want to speak in generalities, and then I want to give you an example of what I think is going to become a problem. The generality is, if you look at this list, I could make an argument for anybody's job outside of things that are for fun and, you know, and
retail stores. Yeah.
I can make you an argument for basically every job is an essential service. Specifically, there is a section in the Miami order that talks about accounting and legal services for things that are court mandated. Well, what the heck does that mean? Because from a perspective of, you know, from us, we're litigators. We actually have cases in court that have hearings scheduled and things going on. So are we mandated by court order? I guess there's a hearing.
It doesn't say mandated by court order. It just says, like, essential for law or something like that.
Correct. There's the terminology basically if it's necessary for, you know, the administration of justice. I'm using just paraphrasing terms. I mean, I guess public defenders and prosecutors are essential because, you know, our Constitution requires initial appearances for criminal cases to be done within, you know, certain parameters. So I can understand that. But now let me change the facts. What about if you're a lawyer and you do contracts? Is anything you do now, you know, necessary? Are you an essential person? And that, I guess, my point is, everything is kind of amorphous as a concept. And as long as you can function within the CDC guidelines, basically meaning you're not within 6 feet of other people, you've got less than 10 people in one spot, I don't think there's anything you can't do.
And the actual verbiage from the order says professional services such as legal or accounting services when necessary to assist in compliance with legally mandated activities. So that is really broad, and you can basically fit almost anything into that. Dad, what do you think about the general thoughts Pete had about how he feels like you can basically argue any business is an essential business or essential activity?
I think he's right. I think we can make that argument. But, when I look at this, what I find is, I don't know if it's lobbyists or if it's somebody who just has the governor or Dade County's ear, but when you look at this and you look at, for instance, Section 3, essential activities, taking care of pets is ahead of taking care of loved ones or friends. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Miami-Dade, they've amended it 2 or 3 times. That where in every amendment doesn't take away essential activities, it always adds essential activities. For instance, some mortuary said, gosh, we should be essential. So they added mortuaries and funeral homes as essential activity. And then if you look at the CDC guidelines, they specifically say individual jurisdictions should add or subtract essential workforce categories based on their own requirements and discretion. So what I see here is I think now that we have this, I think individual jurisdictions are going to see more and more amendments where they're going to pass things and say these are essential because in their jurisdiction, these people come to the governmental authority and say, look, we're essential activities. This essential activity thing is just going to get broader. It's not going to narrow unless there's some disastrous event that causes the state really to shut down.
So one of the interesting things I found is religious gatherings is number one on the list of allowed activities or essential activities. Yet in Tampa, the pastor at the River Church got arrested because he continued to have Sunday gatherings. Why do you think that happened?
Well, I don't think he got arrested for having a church service. What he got arrested for, and keep in mind, all these essential activities, they still expect you to comply with the CDC guidelines about staying 6 feet apart and, basically being careful.
Well, I think that it also, you have to have less than 10 people. You have to have sanitizing procedures and things that you're doing to make sure that it's still clean and protecting the people that you're gathering. And that was the problem with the pastor is he was just having people sit next to each other. He was saying he was going to stop the coronavirus just like he stopped the Zika virus. And so, I mean, he was just totally disregarding all the laws, all the precautions, all the CDC guidelines. So I think that was the real reason he got arrested. And that's going to be an answer to a lot of our questions that we have coming up later from business owners and employers around Florida, which is how you deal with this. The number one answer is going to be follow the CDC guidelines. And that's the major problem with what this pastor did.
Well, let's not forget, the pastor was warned multiple times before he got arrested.
So a lot of times, just knowing the facts and circumstances surrounding a situation can help you understand why law enforcement reacted like they did, because we all know, and I've talked to a couple buddies I have that are law enforcement officers, they're actually being told to try not to arrest people and don't go on all these traffic stops and don't fill up the jail with people because that can spread the virus quicker. It creates more issues. They're not trying to go out there and arrest people for this. They're trying to give warnings. They want all of us to work together. And this pastor just wasn't interested in doing that, it seems like. But law enforcement officers are not out there looking to arrest people for breaking this stay-at-home or safer-at-home order. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with you. And one of the reasons is this is really complicated, trying to figure out whether or not it is justified to arrest somebody or not. Just now the example of religious services. In the governor's order, it says religious services. But then if you look back on Dade County orders, it says this order does not limit the number of persons who may be physically present performing services at any location where an essential, this says business, is being conducted. So you've got a church service. The number of people there is not limited, but yet do they violate the CDC guidelines?
And that's the hard part.
It's going to be very complicated. When these things come to trial or come to court, my guess is 99% of them are going to be dismissed.
Yeah, and that's going to be the really hard part is there's no case law. There's nothing to show how these words are going to be defined, how these paragraphs are going to be enforced. you know, it's just it's really hard to execute an order that's written like this so quickly, because we've talked about before how many years and how many different drafts these rules usually go through before they get actually put into place for law enforcement officers to have to make decisions on, and judges and lawyers to have to make decisions on. So, you know, we go through these essential activities. We've mentioned what they are. You're supposed to stay at home if you can. You're supposed to work from home if you can. But we're going to jump into some questions that we've gotten via email or text and on social media, and we'll just kind of go one by one answering these questions. So the first question is a two-parter. It is, does the FFCA, which is the Families First Coronavirus Act that we did a podcast on before, does that also apply to state employees? And the short answer is yes. But state employees do have different exemptions and some different rules, because obviously some of the debt forgiveness and payroll forgiveness, they're already state and government agencies. So how it affects the employers is obviously different, but they are entitled to that same paid time off if they're having to be quarantined or having to care for someone, a child or an elderly person that's been infected or out of school or doesn't have anyone to care for them. You can go back and listen to that podcast. It does also apply to state employees. And the second part of that question is, can they make you use your sick leave before just giving you paid time off? And there's nothing in the statute that, or there's nothing in the order that says that they can't make you use your paid time off or your sick leave before going into basically just paying you to stay at home because of what's going on with the coronavirus. But I don't think there's anything in the order that doesn't let them not use your paid time off. So that's kind of just a place-by-place basis. The next question, can I still run my business if it's arguably essential?
Well, you can still run your business if you still have a business. The order doesn't say you can't run your business, but most of the time your business is going to be closed. There's really nothing to run. You can run it remotely. If you have an essential business, then yes, you can still run your business provided you comply with the rules. So it all depends. It's all fact-based. It's all, if you have a business that's running, you can keep running it. If your business is no longer running, you don't have any employees, your employees can't work, then obviously there's nothing to run.
So, but again, and we can take some more specific questions if people want to send us an email or send us a message on social media about what your specific business is. But if it's a construction type business and you actually have workers going out to active construction sites and working, I think the answer to that is probably yes, since it is mentioned multiple times in the order that contractors, subcontractors, tradesmen, and active construction sites are all still essential. But I think the really important thing is to still follow the CDC guidelines, making sure they're sanitizing, making sure they're not in a room with more than 10 people or working closely within 6 feet from other workers. I think that you have to do everything you can as an employer to make sure you're following those guidelines.
Remember, it says active construction sites. So you're not out there starting any new construction.
That's not necessarily true. That's what I'm saying. If you read up in the order, it actually mentions contractors and tradesmen. So right. If there's something that needs to be done, like someone needs you to fix their roof, you can go and start a new roof job. If someone needs you to replace their air conditioner, you can go replace an air conditioner. So I think that those would be considered essential, even if it's a new job that's necessary. Maybe even building a new house. I mean, if someone doesn't have a house and they need you to build their house, then I think that can be considered essential.
Well, that's why you can make arguments. That's why people have lawyers.
Right. Yeah, I guess. Okay, next question. Will my employees sue me if I make them come to work?
We can't really know, are you or aren't you going to be sued? We can't really tell at this point. But as an employer, what you need to do is you need to fulfill your responsibility to your employee. Follow the CDC guidelines. Keep as safe a workplace as you can possibly keep, just like you're always required to do.
And this goes right along with our next question, is just what can I do to protect my business and my employees? And again, if you go back and listen to our restaurant coronavirus podcast, where they talk about how they put in new cleaning measures, they put in new delivery measures, new procedures and processes to make sure things are being extra clean, extra sanitized, You want to do that at whatever it is that your office or your business is. You want to put in those extra measures. You want to make sure you're, I don't want to say screening your employees, but making sure you ask them, have you been in contact with anybody that's had coronavirus? Do you know anybody that's had it? So that if, even through 6 degrees of separation, they have been in contact with the coronavirus, they need to stay home. They need to be quarantined. They need to be working from home if at all possible. So that's really how you can protect your business and employees, is ask questions and make sure that you're not putting anybody in a position to contract the virus, and do everything you can. You obviously can't keep people from getting sick. You don't know what they're doing while they're at home or doing other things. But while at work, you do everything you can to follow the CDC guidelines. Next question is, people are confused in Tampa because it states that church services are essential, but we saw that that pastor got arrested. So we've already answered that question, but the short answer again is he was warned multiple times and he was not following the CDC guidelines. It was not the fact that they were actually having a church service. Next question. Dad, you can answer this one. How do we have some sense of maintaining life with things like banking, doctors, pets, and vets?
Well, most of the items you mentioned are items that are essential. So they're going to keep going and keep functioning, just at a limited basis. For instance, doctors. Non-essential services, doctors now are not performing. But they are. If you have an emergency, if you have some particular, you know, emergency need, the doctor is performing that service. So there'll be a sense of life and continuation. I mean, look, the stock market is still functioning, although maybe not functioning that great. There'll still be a sense of life. Just like Governor Cuomo, I heard him say that, you know, there's not going to be a normal life. It's not going to be normalcy as we used to know it. And in fact, our future may not be normal as we used to know it, but a new normal. Things are going to continue to go on, just on a limited basis.
And I think it's important to state that in the actual order, all the things that you mentioned here in this question, banking, doctors, pets, and vets, are all listed as essential activities. So taking care of your pets, taking them out on walks, that's all totally fine. Taking them to the vet if they need it, totally fine. Taking or going to the doctor if you need to go to the doctor, totally fine. Now, you can't go get your lip injections or something like that because that's not an essential service from a doctor. But if you break your arm, you can still go get your arm set at the ER. Same thing with banking. If you need to use the bank, you can. That's still an essential activity. So all the things that you mentioned are essential, but some of the fun stuff we do, like go to the movie theater, or go to the mall, those are the things that are really going to be cut out of normal life. Okay, last question for now. We may do some more later as they keep coming in. Is it safe for me to go outside, to go to a state or national park or things like that?
I think that the key there is, and you hear this on TV all the time and radio, follow the CDC guidelines. If you go to those places, don't do a gathering of 10 people. If you go to those places, stay at least 6 feet away from the person, the other people that are on the in the park. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. These are all the things they've been telling you to do. You can still do them at a park if the park is open. Now, right now, they've closed most all the state parks. I know all the county parks are closed, city parks. So there may not be a lot of parks to even go to.
And this was also a big thing in Pinellas County, especially with Clearwater Beach and St. Pete Beach, is when they closed the beaches, that's kind of a similar thought process with the parks, is that they don't want people to pack out these parks and beaches, but at the same time, walking your dog, getting some exercising, running, biking, in the order, they're saying that is an essential activity. So you are allowed to do that. And a lot of these CDC guidelines, I think it's important to mention, a lot of times they say non-family members. So if you're going out with family members, you can stand within 6 feet, you can touch, you know, whatever, with your actual immediate family. So it's not like you have to stand 6 feet away from your wife who you're sleeping right next to. It's not totally illogical like that. So, I mean, I think parks and things like that are still okay if they're open, obviously, because things like beaches have been closed. So, I mean, I think that stuff is encouraged because you do get a little bit of exercise, you get some fresh air, and it is healthy for you to do when we're all being cooped up in our house all day. So those are all the questions that we're going to get to today. God forbid any new orders or laws or rules come down, we'll do another podcast. This stuff is changing so quickly. It seems like there's a lot of redundancy and a lot of rules on top of rules on top of rules. So we'll keep you posted. Feel free to ask us any questions you have surrounding the coronavirus or any of the laws or orders or rules coming down. We'll do more podcasts on this topic. Hopefully you enjoyed this one, and let's have Nate take us out.
On that midnight train.
You've been listening to Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field. Find out more at TragosLaw.com.